like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 40. Exodus chapter 40. It's a special time tonight, but it's also a little bit of a sad time because we're coming to the end of our study in the book of Exodus. And it has been a great journey. I went back to see when I started this, and I started this series in Exodus in August of 2013. Can you imagine that? Now, it doesn't mean it's taken me 3 years to preach through it because I'm preaching different multiple series at one time. And so I don't know how long it's been. If you put them all together, you see how many weeks or how many services. But it's been a great journey. And coming down to the end of a book like this is a blessing. And we're excited about what the Lord's going to do in the future, about where He's going to lead me next and all these kind of things. But we come to our last chapter here in Exodus, and I'm not going to read all of this. We will read quite a bit of this as we go through it, so to speak. Maybe skip around a little bit. But I just want you to look at chapter 40, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Notice they're getting ready to set up the tabernacle. So tonight, in this closing chapter, I'm preaching on the setting up of the tabernacle. The setting up of the tabernacle. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Challenge us from your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to understand these simple, simple thoughts, yet these thoughts that can really challenge us. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this final chapter of Exodus, let me say it's been a wonderful journey through this book. The Lord has truly been good to allow us to travel through this book together. It's been a very practical book and an applicable book for our own lives today, and this chapter's no different. In the latter part of chapter 39, which is what we preached on Sunday night, I think it is, we saw the different parts of the tabernacle completed. And remember, they brought the completed parts to Moses and laid them down so Moses could inspect them. And after Moses inspected their work, the people received Moses' blessing. And we applied those thoughts to the day that when all of us as God's children will present our work to our heavenly Moses, so to speak, the Lord Jesus Christ, for His inspection. And may we work in such a way that we receive the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ some glorious day. I encourage you to go back and get that message. I believe it was on Sunday evening. Now we come to the final chapter of this study, and we see the tabernacle being set up for the first time. Now it's this setting up of the tabernacle that I want us to consider tonight. And I want to give you three major thoughts tonight as we close this book out together. And we're going to apply these thoughts to our lives. Thought number one. Actually, there's four major thoughts I'm going to give to you. I had three when I was typing the introduction, and then the Lord gave me another one when I was typing through it. So anyway, instead of three, it's four, all right? Four major thoughts tonight, number one. We notice the commands. Simply the commands. This is found in verses 1 through 15. Now notice in verse number 2, on the first day of the first month, shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Notice verse 3, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony. Now notice what I'm doing. Verse 4, and thou shalt. Verse 5, and thou shalt. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, all has thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. Now, you see where I'm going through this. This is found in every verse, beginning in verse number 2 all the way through verse number 15. God is speaking, and God is saying, you shall do this, and you shall do this, and you shall do this, and you shall do this. And I want to look at this. I've simply called this the commands. What God commanded as far as how to set up the tabernacle. And as we consider these commands, there are two ways I want to apply this to our lives today. Thought number one, letter A under this, this is its application to us. What can we take from these thou shalts, okay? Number one, letter A, we learn from this that God is our authority. We learn that God is our authority. Now, in these verses, we see how the Lord was the one calling the shots. He did not ask Moses how to do this. No, he commanded Moses how to do this. Now, this goes to show that God is the authority. He doesn't take commands from us. We take commands from Him. Now, folks, I know that that's so simple, it's ridiculous. I understand that. I understand that that thought is like, duh, you know what I mean? But you understand that we get in trouble when we become our own authority. Here's what I mean. When we start going against God's authority, that's when we start making a mess out of our own lives. And this is what I'm trying to get across here, that God is our authority. God did not ask Moses, how do you want to do it? He said, no. He said, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. He expected Moses to obey Him. And we learn in this that God's the authority. Number two, we learn in these verses that God demands holy service. Look at verse number 12, and I'm going to read these. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. Thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Notice this and these verses in the thou shalt section, the commands section, where he's commanding how to set up the tabernacle and how to get the priest ready to serve in it. In these verses, we see the Lord commands for Aaron and his sons to be washed with water before they ever step foot into the tabernacle. This happened at the door of the tabernacle. Don't let them step foot in if there's any dirt upon their flesh. Now, friends, God's telling us something here. In other words, they were not to enter the tabernacle dirty before the Lord. God commanded for Aaron to be clothed with holy garments. He was also to be anointed and sanctified. This was to be done, and I quote, that he may minister unto God in the priest's office. His sons were also to be clothed with coats and anointed for their service as well. Now get this, this goes to show again, and I say again because I remind you, we've already preached on some of this traveling through the book. This goes to show again how serving the Lord in the tabernacle is a very serious thing, and it's not to be taken lightly. Now friends, listen to me. It is a privilege to serve God Almighty. It is an honor to be a servant of Jesus Christ. But you and I are not at liberty to serve Him any way we so choose. God demands holiness. He demands us to be washed. He demands us to be clothed. He demands us to be anointed to serve Him in the sanctuary. Now get this. God does not accept unclean service. God does not accept unholy service. God does not accept unsanctified service. God does not accept unanointed service. And let us here who desire to serve the Lord, determine that we are not going to serve Him dirty. We're not going to serve Him in filth. We're not going to serve Him with soiled garments. No, He deserves our best. He deserves our holiness. He deserves our sanctification. By the way, these are great thoughts that deal with salvation as well. You cannot approach God and serve Him unless you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, clothed in the righteousness of God, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, this is the demand He has for service. May I say this to you? God is not impressed with somebody who gives out gospel tracts or knocks on doors or teaches a Sunday school class or runs a bus route or who's a deacon or who's the pastor or who's the assistant pastor or who the youth pastor or who the bus pastor or who the singles pastor is. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's me, you, or not. God's not impressed with our service if we're giving it with dirty hands. Now, friends, we need to understand this. There are people today who will balk at a church who tries to preach holiness. And may I say this to you, a preacher who belittles a holy life has no idea what he's saying, because God Almighty demands holiness. We learn this from his commands. He did not say this is an option. He said this is what you shall do. We learn this in the commands. Number one, that God is the authority. Number two, that God demands holy service. Leviticus 20, verse 7, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Number one, the commands. Number two, the compliance. We see this in verses 16 through 32. Look at verse 16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Now notice in verse number 19, where the Bible says, and he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it. Notice this phrase, as the Lord commanded Moses. You'll find that same phrase in verse 21, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29, and verse 32. By the way, here's a principle of Bible study. You study the Bible? I hope you do. Here's a Bible study principle. Pay attention to what God repeats in His Word. If God repeats it, He's doing it for emphasis. And all these thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. He's trying to tell us something, friends. And all these, as the Lord commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses. Why didn't he just say it one time and be done with it? What's he doing? He's trying to get our attention. And that is this. Our duty is just to obey what he tells us to do. It doesn't matter if he says make it 6 inches. You better make it 6 inches. If he says make it 6 1/4, don't make it 6. Don't make it 6 1/2. Don't make it 6 3/4. Make it 6 1/4. May I say this to you? This is another ridiculous, what I mean is just how simple it is, ridiculously simple point. But this is building on the first point, that he's our authority. The second point is this: Moses listened. Moses obeyed. He did not try to figure it out on his own. He did not try to say, well, there's a better way to do it, Lord. No. He did it exactly how God told him to do it. That's the way to live the Christian life, friends. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to find out exactly what does God want me to do. And if God will tell me exactly what to do, my answer is yes. I will say yes. And this is what this point is trying to get across. Do as the Lord commanded. This is a great lesson for us to learn. We are to comply, compliance, obey, submit to whatever the Lord's will is for our lives. We are not to question what He gives us to do, but we are to submit to His authority in all things. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if everybody under the sound of my voice here on Wednesday night, by the way, thank you for being here. God bless you. That's the right thing to do. I appreciate it. The Lord does too, by the way. It's a privilege to be here on Wednesday night. It really is. I know many of you are tired and all that. I'm high strung tonight for some reason. I don't really know what it is. I mean, I've not had a Coke or anything. You know what I'm saying? But imagine if I did. But anyway, what am I saying to you? Could you imagine what would happen if just this crowd said, God, whatever you tell me, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. Tell me what you want me to do. My answer is yes. May I say this? The whole Tri-Cities would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Marriages would stay right with each other. Amen. You say, how do I know that? Because that's what he's told us to do. That's how I know it. And if he says, do it, and your answer is yes, sir, then listen, your decision-making is really simplified at that time. You know, whenever you have a boss, it simplifies your life. Because you don't have to figure things out. It's the boss's job. And all you do is you go to the boss, what would you like me to do, sir? What would you like me to do, ma'am? How would you like me to help you with this? Listen, I know now, okay? There's no longer, you need to go talk to Preacher Lashley about that. You know what I'm saying? There's no more of that with me, all right? The buck stops right here now. Pastor, what do you want to do? 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 All these kind of, and listen, that's an awesome responsibility, but it makes it easy on the staff. You follow me where I'm going? Because all they've got to do is get permission. Pastor, can I do this? Yes. Thank you, Pastor. No, let's hold off on that. Yes, sir. It makes their decisions. You realize that's what the Christian life is? God's not put us on planet Earth to figure it out, friends. He's not put us on planet Earth to say, well, now listen, I saved you here. You've got a great glory day coming, but in between, you're on your own. Just help yourself. He doesn't do that. God has a will. Listen to me, please. I've learned some things. I'm still learning. Hope I never stop learning. But I'll tell you one major thing I've learned. God has a will in everything. I don't care what it is. He has a will in everything. And all we need to do is be patient enough to find the will of God. And then do it. That's compliance. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, Jesus said. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So number one, the commands. We learn there that God's the authority. He's calling the shots. We learn there under his commands that he demands holy service unto himself. Number two, the compliance. Moses did not question. He did not try to change it. He just did it as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. Number three, we see the completion. We see this in verse number 33. Notice it. Well, the word of God says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. He finished the work. You look up the word finished, it means he completed it. He accomplished it. It was done. You know, after Moses received the Lord's commands and he followed them to the minutest detail, there eventually came the time when it was said, Moses finished the work. I put this down. What a day that must have been for Moses. And what a day that must have been for the nation of Israel. You know the way the Lord spoke to my heart here, so Moses finished the work. You know how the Lord spoke to my heart? It's how Moses not only started the work, but he stayed with it until he finished it. And may I say this to you? It has been said that people will remember how you start and how you finish. And the fact of the matter is this, Moses finished right. And may God help every one of us to determine that we're going to finish right. One of the Greek Olympic Games was a race in which those who were competing carried torches that were lit. And the winner was the one that finished with his torch still lit. And this story says the Christian's desire should be that he finish the race with his flame still burning hot. Don't let the flame burn out before you reach home. Keep going for the glory of Almighty God. Don't quit until you get home. I like what Scott Pauley said. He said, I do not want to die before I die. Now think about that statement. I don't want to die before I die. Let me ask you a question. If I could paint a picture in your mind here, is your torch that God gave you at salvation, he lit it, he gave you a race to run, is your torch How high is the flame on your torch tonight? Is it burning bright? And you are pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ? Or have you kind of cooled off a little bit? By the way, we all have to guard against that. Have you kind of cooled off a little bit? And that flame's just starting to come down, just starting to flicker a little bit. By the way, let me talk to the older generation. And I'm not going to identify who you are. You identify yourself. If you consider yourself the older generation, I'm talking to you. Don't you quit on God. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, listen to me, from the human standpoint, all we need is God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But from the human standpoint, we need you. We want you to keep going. Do we need young people to step up to the plate? Absolutely. Do we need young couples to start, I'm talking about just step up and start doing something for God? Absolutely. Do we need teenagers to start getting on fire for God? Absolutely. Do we need young singles to get on fire for God? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean when their fire, right here, when their fire gets bigger that yours gets smaller. It doesn't work that way. God wants your flame to burn brighter and brighter until He calls you home. Do not fall prey to, I can't do what I used to do, so I'll just let the young people take it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You take a young person under your wing and show them how to take it from you. You keep going. You determine to finish right. I'm thinking right now of our own preacher, Preacher Lashley. What a man of God. What a man of God. And one thing that man is teaching me and has taught me for many, many years is you don't have to be flashy. But you can be faithful. You know one word I think of when I think of Preacher Lashley? Faithful. And may I say this to you? I don't think there's a greater word you can think of when you think of an individual. It's not, in other words, I'm talking about the greatest thing to say about somebody like Preacher Lashley is not he's a great preacher, and he is. He's a wonderful preacher. That's not the greatest thing can be said about him. Greatest thing can be said about him, I'm talking about from his service to the Lord, is he just kept his hand to the plow and he's not giving up, giving in, or giving out. He's going full speed ahead until he sees Jesus Christ. You do the same thing. Don't stop on God. Finish and finish right. Then let me give you a fourth and final thing. By the way, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Determine you will finish right. And by the way, to finish right, you got to be right now. Could I be talking to somebody who's not even right with God? Then get it right, keep it right until you see Jesus. Then number four, we've noticed now the commands. We've noticed the compliance. We've noticed the completion. We close with the cloud. We see this in verse 34 and following. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. These closing verses of this chapter and these closing verses of this entire book are verses that close it in such a fitting way to challenge our hearts today. See, after Moses and the Israelites finished the work God had for them to do in the way He commanded for them to do it, you'll notice in verse number 34 the word then. And I say only then. Only after they finished it the way God told them to do it. When they did God's work, God's way, and they obeyed God's commands, they submitted to Him, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. To the point, you'll notice it right there, that Moses couldn't even enter the tent. He couldn't even go in because the glory of God had so filled the tabernacle, he couldn't even get inside. Now the point right here is what a sight this must have been. By the way, without the cloud of God's presence, listen to me now. If they'd have done all that work all of that work and then sat back and nothing happened. It wouldn't have been worth it at all. That would have been time wasted, money wasted, everything else wasted. But because the presence of God showed up, it made all the work worth it. Because, friends, they needed the presence of God among them. God's presence is what separated them from everybody else. God's presence is what secured them in time of threat and fear and all these other kind of things. The closing verses of this chapter and this book tell us how the cloud led the nation of Israel in their journeys. To the point that when the cloud moved, they moved. But when the cloud stayed, they stayed. And notice how the cloud was upon the tabernacle by day and it turned to fire by night. This signified that God's protection and guidance was both day and night for the children of Israel. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Now in his closing section, I want to give you a couple of ways to apply this as we close this book together. Number one, the first way to apply the cloud and the presence of God and how he leads and guides. Number one, here it is. This is a long one, so just listen to it. And if you're keeping notes, you can summarize what I'm saying. Live in such a way to invite God's presence to fill your tabernacle. See, friends, the tabernacle of God is no longer a building made with hands. But the Word of God says that the tabernacle of God is our bodies. The Word of God teaches that we are the tabernacle of God. The Bible teaches this in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own?" And just as this earthly tabernacle had the glory of God fill it, so should we as God's tabernacle invite Him to fill us. And may I say this to you? The way we get the filling of God's Spirit today, where He fills us, is the same way they got it. You obey what He tells you to do. You obey His commands, He'll fill you up. We need the Lord's presence in our lives. So we should live in such a way that we invite Him to fill us fresh and new. Now, I'm not talking about dwelling in us. That's a one-time experience. The Holy Spirit indwells you once. I'm not talking about the indwelling. I'm talking about the filling. I'm talking about His power, His presence, His authority. You understand? His help, His guidance, His protection. We ought to live in such a way that we invite that. We invite it. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." We learn, number one, that we ought to invite the presence of God in our tabernacle. But number two, and we'll start closing the book here, we learn that we're to follow the leadership of the Lord. We're just to follow Him, follow His guidance. See, just as the Israelites moved according to the direction of the cloud, so should we move at the direction of the Lord's leadership in our lives. One interesting thing to note about following the leadership of the cloud is they were to follow the cloud whether it moved by day or whether it moved by night. And may I say this to you? No doubt it was an inconvenience if the cloud started moving at 2 o'clock in the morning. No doubt it was an inconvenience if at 3:30 in the morning the cloud started moving away. And may I say this to you? God's will is not always convenient, friends. It's not always comfortable. But if we have our eyes on Him and He goes, we better get up and go with Him. The Bible says in Numbers 9:21, "So it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed." Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed by day or by night. Concerning this principle, day or night, one man said it this way: convenience likes to argue with God's marching orders. It wants to dictate to God the time and territory of its movement. God's people would make no lasting plans for life in the wilderness because the command to leave could come at any time. One man said, "We need to hold on to the present with a slack hand so as to be ready to fold our tents and take to the road if God will. We must not reckon on continuance nor strike our roots so deep that it takes a hurricane to remove us." Notice the words, "when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days." In other words, this works both ways. No matter when he goes, go with him. But when he stays, don't move ahead of him. The long continuance of the Lord of the cloud must have tried their patience at times too. Those who were restless to go on must have felt that it would never move. The fact that the cloud did not move for a long time was how God taught Israel to wait on Him. And it's no waste of time to wait on God's timing. One of the hardest things to do is wait on God. And this is what we learn from the cloud. Don't move until He moves. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, I'm going to do that. Have you prayed about it? No. It just seems right. That's ridiculous. That's craziness. You better pause and see if the cloud is taking you there or not. If the cloud's going, follow Him. It doesn't matter what you leave behind, follow Him. But if the cloud stays, you better not get out from under His protection. Stay put. So what's the point here? What do we apply here? Here's what we apply. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Because, friends, they didn't have to try to figure things out, what to do. They just to keep their eyes glued on the presence of the Lord. And when He moved, they moved. By the way, man needs the leadership of the Lord. We don't know where we're going. If you think you know what you're doing, you might want to be careful, because God will say, okay, go down that road. I'll let you go down in a little while. You don't know what you're doing, neither do I. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I've added that verse to my prayer list. Instruct and teach me in a way I should go. Guide me with your eye. We've seen the commands, we've seen the compliance, we've seen the completion, we've seen the cloud. Now let me close with this. J. Vernon McGee said concerning Exodus, it opened in the gloom of the brickyards of Egypt, and it closed in the glorious presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. What a great book this has been. We have been blessed to study it. And may the Lord take this final message and help us in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. By teaching us the importance of obeying His authority in our lives, by living in such a way to invite His presence in our lives, and by helping us keep our eyes upon Him and follow Him no matter where He goes. And if He stays, we stay. If He goes, we go. So I ask, as we close this book, are you finishing your race strong? Is your torch still lit with a large flame? Do you have your eyes glued on the cloud? Are you living in such a way that you're saying, please come fill me up. Please, please, please come fill me up. We can apply these thoughts to our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that You'll touch this and use it in a special way. Would You guide us and lead us and direct us in a plain path? And I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. I wonder, is God using this final message in your heart? How are you living your Christian life? Are you submitting to God's authority? Are you inviting God's presence in your life? Are you following the Lord's leadership? And are you determined that you're going to finish right? Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me. I need this. No doubt about it. God's using this final message to minister to my heart and my soul. Tonight, would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, God's using this. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I'm just going to ask her just to begin to play. I never want to let a service come and go without trusting Jesus Christ and Christ alone. If you need to be saved, you come. If you want to come and just pray for a minute or two, you come. God, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. There's time for you. You come on. You can come talk to God. Some of you precious older people, it'd be a great thing right now to bow your head and say, God, help me not to quit on You. Help me not to throw in the towel. Help me not to sit down when You want me to keep going. Help me to finish strong. Help me to finish with my flame burning bright going forward. May the Lord help us. You can look this way. Let me give you some instructions for our prayer meeting. We're going to have our first Sunday school prayer meeting. Everybody, with the exception of Brother Gary's class, will be meeting to my right over here. Okay? He will not be meeting in the chapel because the Cadets for Christ are over there, so Brother Gary's class will be meeting to my right. Brother Harry's class will be meeting to my left, so you all will be together in here. The preschool, nursery through five-year-old, I'm talking to the workers now, workers here, nursery through five-year-old, you will be meeting in the five-year-old department upstairs in the educational wing. Brother John Rourke will be leading that meeting. So those are those who are not meeting in their regular meeting places. Nursery through five-year-old in the five-year-old department. Brother Gary's class stays in here. Everybody else will go to where you go to Sunday school, okay? Berean class and Berean class, with the exception of the Naomi class, that's Miss Gladys Davis's class, the ladies who ride the bus on Sunday morning. If we happen to be speaking to somebody who's in that class or you identify with that class, I would encourage you to go to the Berean prayer meeting tonight. Teenagers downstairs, youth workers downstairs, all of that. My class and our class, you understand what I'm saying. As you go, let me remind you here, nursery through five-year-old, you're going to be preaching. You're going to be praying for the church ministry in the center section, first grade, the bus route, second grade, the staff member, third grade, the deacon, fourth grade, the active military personnel, fifth grade, the national government official, sixth grade, the local government official, single purpose, the missionaries, Gideon class, praying for the laborers section, Berean class, the Truth Bible Clubs, Victory class, those in the hospital, home builders class, in the nursing home, men's class, those who are shut in. Everybody's going to be praying for revival, what the New Testament church prayed for, and the two special upcoming events on the back. And let me give you a couple of special prayer requests that you can write these down, and then we'll be dismissed. It's 7:46. I'd like you to try to be closing around 8:05, okay? Around 8:05, if possible. That gives you about 15 minutes. Let me give you some special prayer requests to write down. One is Joy Armstrong. Chad's here and so on. We're praying for their baby girl. Has a pretty bad virus. She's doing some better today, right? And we're praying for her, asking God to touch her little body. So I want you to pray for that if possible. Clyde Glover, this is Jack Mosier's cousin. He's we're praying for him. Obviously, remember Leroy Shepherd Jr. We're continuing to pray for him. Miss Julia Garst has a fractured wrist, and she's having back and leg troubles, and she's requested prayer. And then obviously we're remembering Brother Joe Taylor at this time as well. Okay, Dale Sparks would be good as well. Those are just some extra prayer requests at the end of your prayer time. If you have time to pray for those, you go ahead. If not, I wanted to give them to the church family, so you're praying for them throughout the week. Thank you. You're dismissed to your Sunday school prayer meeting tonight. Okay?